Hi there, boys and girls. This is Jello Biafra, and you're listening to CFMU 93.3 FM. Why?
Hey, that's a good place.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
Free School.
My name is Kevin Hamilton, and I'm with an organization called Cycling for Sustainability Association.
I think our numbers are 12 now. 4 Australians, 3 Albertans, an American, and 7 or 8 Ontarians. And we're a nonprofit organization that's cycling across the country, promoting sustainable lifestyles. And we're asking for the mandatory labeling of genetically modified foods as well. This Wednesday from Gore Park at about 9 o'clock, we're having a bike ride into Oakville. And we'll be staying in Oakville for a night, and then we're continuing on to Toronto. And we're going to be dressing up and having a critical mass and handing out leaflets about smog and driving less and promoting sustainable lifestyles. And we're taking our message to Queen Park. And we're hoping at picking up as many cyclists as we can. And our ride itself is an open invitation to anybody who wants to come along. And we'll be in St. John's, Newfoundland, September the 20th.
My name is Amy Blythe. I'm cycling across Canada with Cycling for Sustainability. Well, I have a whole bunch of personal reasons for doing this. I wanted to see Canada. I wanted to travel, have an adventure. But also the message of the group really spoke to me. The idea of having travel across country, talking to different people about issues of alternative lifestyles that are more environmentally sustainable is really interesting, as well as trying to actually live sustainably in a group, which is a really pretty new experience for me, having just finished university and lived a pretty more independent life, not so group-oriented. So basically we're talking about different members of the group have different personal interests, but things, all sorts of alternatives like riding a bike, public transportation, or issues around climate change, organic farming, genetically modified organisms, and also going to different places throughout Canada and finding what the local issues are there as well, because it changes obviously from place to place. So that was our goal, in part to learn more about what's going on throughout Canada and learn individually how to be sustainable and globally. And really the most inspiring thing has been meeting all the individuals that seem to be doing such incredible things across Canada. Just people with a vision. Like, we visited wind farms in Alberta that weren't there really 10 years ago. And it's just a few individuals that are really inspired, and just seeing, for me, the most inspiring thing is just seeing people living their lives and doing what they can, you know, having their own little organic garden plots in their backyard and using non-toxic soaps in their bathroom. Just little things have added up so much. It's been really incredible to see it. Yeah. I'd been to the Rockies before, but just seeing the interior of BC and the prairies I've never been to in Northern Ontario is just unreal. It's so beautiful. Every province and every area has their own beauty, and it's really nice. Going at a slow pace on a bicycle, you really get to appreciate Even like you can notice even a couple days ride, it can change dramatically in the wildlife and the flora and fauna. It's incredible. And the activist geography, also really interesting. Yeah, BC was a really nice place to start because I think there was a lot really supportive, so it gave us sort of the support to get things started. And you'll rocket to a small town and you won't expect much, and then there'll be just one or two people doing these incredible things. Like we went to St. Marie and not expect anything, and they had this community bike workshop and did a critical mass, and it's amazing, you know. There's so many local initiatives all across the country. It just made me realize that how much is actually going on. The biggest impact we're having is on us, which is great. I mean, we're all learning so much, and other people are having impact on us, and we're having impacts. I think it makes the biggest impact is that I think people see it and they get excited because they're like, they see us doing this for 4 months. It's a pretty big time commitment and energy commitment, and hopefully that inspires them to continue doing what they're doing and more energy into it. So we'll see how it goes. Get our website, www.cycle.wild.net.au, and check out the bet.ca.
You are listening to Radio Free School.
Hi, my name is Tony Foster. I'm 14, and I'm just fixing up this old bike.
Okay.
Here?
Now, well, what?
What
kind of bike is that you're fixing at this moment?
It's a stunt bike, and all I did was took an old frame, painted it, I got a new front wheel, I got bolts, handlebars and everything, new seat, fixed the chain up, got that oiled. Now I just need a back tire to fit it. I gotta put the brake system on it.
Okay. Now, what is a stunt bike?
Stunt bike is sort of a mountain bike, but without gears.
Okay. Yeah. How do you learn to do it?
I learned how to put my bike together from my dad, my aunts, my uncles, so basically my family. They've worked with bikes their life, so just get it. Learn on my own now. It's my turn. They're easy to handle. They're not hard to make. It's easy to fix. Yeah, they get up hills easy. Yeah, I like that. I do this in some workshops, my backyard, wherever I can get tools, parts. Go to dump yards to get parts. I go to my aunt, my uncle, I go wherever I need to go. People lend me parts. I get a whole bunch of stuff from people. They just donate it to you.
Well, why bikes go so fast?
Because of the crank on it. Every time you pedal, it pulls the chain in the back of the tire, has another spoke like this, and then when you pedal it, it turns it, so it's gonna keep moving, and that's why some bikes go faster than other, and then others have gears like this on it, and then when you change it, it'll go up one every time you go faster. I go off-road, on-road, I go wherever there's bike trails, anywhere you're allowed, so you have to be aware of the cars coming behind you. You have to be on the right side of the road, or you can get hit. So.
Thank you.
I'm Dean Carrier, Recycle Cycles. We're at 19 Pearl Street North, Erskine Presbyterian Church down in the bowels of it, where we're renting the space from the church here for a modest amount of money per month, and we hope to generate enough each month from the sale of bicycles and people renting space and that just to cover our rent. Totally non-profit, like really non-profit. We get by every month and that's fine. Okay, we're here Wednesday nights from 6 until 9, and that's strictly mechanics night or a night for apprentices to be trained. We're open Saturday mornings 9 until 12, and that's for the general public to come in and buy bikes and parts, look around, work on their own bikes 2 days a week. We have a whole range of bikes from old granny-type bikes to standard mountain bikes. And so I guess only in the last couple of years we started to get mountain bikes in. Prior to that, we just had all the old-fashioned bikes, the 10-speeds with the turndown handlebars, which we started converting with straight bars and stuff like that to make them a little more functional for the average rider. But in the last 2 years, we've got a lot of mountain bikes that have been donated. I guess they've sort of ran their course and got flat tires and that, and people decide to throw them out. So... So they donate them to us, and we repair them and get them back on the road. The way we've operated this, we've rented one room, and we put the wall up here ourselves, and we keep that locked up with all of the bikes, and we run all the tools in there on this mobile tool rack, and then when we're working, we come out into this open space and hang the bikes up from the bike racks. We're supposed to keep this relatively clean, because, but we're not too good at it lately. Our cleaning man is retired. And so we've got three sort of bike stations, just chains hanging from the ceiling. Then we got a portable bike stand, which we use when we're really busy, and we've got more people in working on bikes. This is a relatively quiet day for some reason. Each of us usually has a couple bikes that we've picked out to work on, and then we've probably got about 50 bikes in storage at the back. And lately we found we've had so many donations that we can't quite keep up with them, which is fine because what we've done is we've paired ourselves with a high school down in the North End, Parkview, and they've started a similar project with a bunch of students there. And the teacher that we've collaborated with on that project, he said it's the first sort of thing that they've got going in that school that a lot of students have really got excited about. They'll take an old bike, strip it down, rebuild it, and then they'll get it in for $5, either for themselves or sibling or friend or someone. And in the course of doing that, they'll just learn a lot through his tutelage about bike repairs. And so what we've been doing is any excess bikes we've been giving to them, donating to them. So nothing goes to the dump unless it's absolutely beyond repair. And then usually we strip down any components we can use and then just send off the frame to be recycled.
This is our show.
One size down.
We have an S-shape now.
My name's Neil Croft, and I've been a volunteer here at Recycle Cycles since 1997, when Randy and a few of us others put it together. And it exists to teach hands-on repair and supply affordable bikes in Hamilton, in the community. We accept donations of bicycles, so that's what we work with. Big problem, well, not a problem, but for example, today I have three bikes that need tires. Despite all the bikes that we have, tires are a problem. I need tires for this bike, I need tires for another bike in there, because we have lots of old tires, but none of them are appropriate to put on a bike that person would want. And then we have bikes coming in now with the shocks, and all of them have most of them have loose bushings inside them, and we're going to have to stockpile old conventional forks to replace all the bikes coming in here with shock forks. A couple of problems that we have being a non-profit shop where we can't just go out and buy new things. Like, we rely on old parts and compatibility problems. Like, rebuilding bikes is sometimes a problem with getting the proper derailleur. We have mountains of conventional 10-speed rear derailleurs, but a lot of the bikes that people want are mountain bikes, and they require a different type of rear derailleur.
Joseph Cowan?
I just saw a flyer from Mac, actually, and was interested in the service, and think it's a great idea. Too many cars out there. And I think it's important that people come and learn about their bikes and learn how to maintain them and such themselves.
And what did you do here today?
Well, we just assembled Gene's bike, and there weren't any Allen keys, so we came to borrow a couple of tools, and was grateful that you guys had what we needed. So, yeah, 5 minutes in and out, perfect. Thanks.
Well, one thing that we're trying to do here is to educate people and discourage them from getting sucked into the latest fad in bicycling, where often just an ordinary 3-speed bike or 5-speed bike is perfectly adequate, a case in point.
Give my bicycle a photo op.
This is a beautiful bike.
That's a 1976 Rally Roadster. It's a classic design. Diamond frame, Sturmey Archer, 3-speed hub. I've taken it apart once. It really didn't need any maintenance. I just took it apart for curiosity's sake, but I drop in a couple of drops of oil every year. Thing runs like a charm. The only things that aren't original on it is the seat post, which is a BMX seat post. I put it on so I'd be sitting further away from the handlebars. I got big legs. And the seat, of course, is not original, but I swear by the Rally 3-speeds. I think they're very practical, really utilitarian, and I swear by my Rally.
Awesome. You should hear a purse stuck by his Rally sometime. We try to really encourage people to come down and learn how to repair their own bikes. So that's on an ongoing basis, but then... in the winters, we've been running some workshops, like last year, where we advertised them quite far and wide. But three that we did last winter when things were a little bit slower. One was just general bike repairs. Another one on building your own bike trailer, whether for recreational use or even for work. The guy that gave that workshop is actually a carpenter, and that's the only way that he gets back and forth to work, with his tools, drywall, whatever. You know. And then the third one we had was by a backyard mechanic entrepreneur who builds his own recumbent bikes, you know, and builds them for sale as well. So he gave a little discussion and demonstration about that, which was really quite enlightening. So.
You are listening to Radio Free School.
What kind of bike do you ride?
It's what they call a hybrid. I ride because I enjoy the riding, and I need it for my age. Help keep me in shape. I ride from Dundas to Barton and Nash. A little over an hour, both ways, because I'm going to work. I try to avoid the busy streets. I don't ride January, February. Okay. About 9 months of the year.
How do you get to work then?
Bus.
Do you want a car?
Yeah, I do. Try to stay away from it as much as I can. Gas is too expensive.
How do you feel about riding on a day like today's smog day?
It's hard. Well, sweat a little more, breathe a little harder, but other than that, it's okay. It's not that bad.
My name is Bob Swatsky. I'm 21 years old, and ride my bike just to get to school, basically. To school, it's about 2 kilometers, about 5 minutes. It's a Raleigh Tomahawk. It's about 7 or 8 years old.
How often do you ride the bike?
Every day, mostly commuting, okay, wherever I need to go. Yeah, I'll go get my groceries on it and entertainment, things like that.
My name's Christy, and I ride a Raleigh that I've had for a very long time. I'd say probably about 8 years. It's faster than walking when I'm in a hurry. This bike is only for riding to and from school. I have another bike which I like to go actually mountain biking on, just back and forth from campus. It's just, I don't even know how far it is, probably like 2 kilometers, maybe. I bike everywhere I can. I make actually a very solid commitment to that.
My name's Jane. I think this is 14 inches, right? Yeah, this is ladies, right? I think girls. Because I'm short, so I think this is fit for me. Yeah, and usually in summer, I just buy bicycle. I just five to seven minutes, I just come home. I work with McMaster. In the winter, we just drive the car. In the summer is wasteland, nice weather, so I just buy bicycle.
I'm Don Woodside, I'm 61. I've got a Raleigh 10-speed. I use it for commuting to work. It's about maybe 6 or 7 kilometers down in the middle of Hamilton. I use it maybe twice a week. The rest of the time I ride the bus mostly. Occasionally drive.
How do you feel about riding on a day like today where it's a smog warning or a smog alert?
Doesn't really bother. I mean, I'd rather have nice clean air, but it wouldn't stop me from riding. In fact, I think if everybody rode on a smog day, we'd have less smog. I was thinking about that as I rode along. It's all the people driving by in their air-conditioned cars. It's really not that hot when you ride a bike because you've got the breeze. You're busy with other things. You know, just the wind in your ears and the exercise you're getting. It's an easy way to get exercise. I'm a fair weather rider. When it's cold, wet, or icy, I don't ride.
I'm Grace Chaluk. I'm 19 and Peugeot mountain bike. I ride to school because it's kind of far and it's a lot faster. About 3 kilometers and it takes about 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Right.
Yeah, it's really short. Walking is about 15. So. Good exercise. I go a lot more places because of it, because it's easier, I guess.
And what's the best thing about riding a bike?
It's efficient. You don't have to waste gas, and it's fast. Better than walking.
Do you ever take the bus?
Downtown stuff. I don't want to get run over while riding. No, I just like for short distances that are safe to ride on a bike. I'm not comfortable riding on like downtown. First of all, this needs to have a crosswalk because it's really busy here all the time. On Coutts, crossing Coutts over to Thode Library, I guess, and more bike paths, I guess.
My name is Catherine. I'm 25. I don't know the kind of bike. I'm borrowing it from a friend because my other bike got stolen. And he lent it to me because he felt sorry for me because biking is so important to me because I bike all the time everywhere. It's my principal form of exercise. By bike, yep. Well, I bike to school every day, but also to around the Dundas Valley on those trails. Since I've been to Hamilton, I've had 2 bikes stolen this year. One was off Paisley, and that was my own fault. It wasn't locked. And the other one was from my house. I went away for a couple weeks, and when I got back, it was gone off of Purvis, off Lower Horning. I don't really know how far I go. I usually go for about an hour and a half. I don't like the smog alerts. They make me nervous. I usually try and go early in the morning when the smog isn't too bad. So, yeah, that's kind of gross. I'm doing my undergrad in New Brunswick, and it was much cleaner there.
Thank you.
Radio Free School, a show by, for, and about home learners.
Radio Free School, I Like Bikes, interviews with Kevin Hamilton and Amy Blythe of Cycles for Sustainability, Tony Oster, Backyard Bike Apprentice, Dean Carrier and Neil Croft of Recycle Cycles, and a bunch of random cyclists at Coots Drive at McMaster University. Music you heard, Spec Bebop by Yo La Tengo and Bella Ciao by Chumbawamba.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper, I'm gonna daub myself with glue, stick some stamps on the top of my head, I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1 C O.